This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just said it's not true. don't believe him. He can talk with the best.
That's some historical event.
Well, you're the one saying it's historical. We're just playing.
That's so disgusting.
Tell him to go to a comedy club. Nobody wants to hear his piss poor imitations.
Now, it's time for Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Oh, that's cold.
Your hosts, Scott Cordishy and Nick Coit.
The most elite and extraordinary warriors.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Cordishy and Coit on WEEI. Yeah, we're off to a good start.
Great start. He didn't press the on button.
Turn your
baby.
Microphone on, Scott.
Long day, Scotty.
Yeah. You at like the 9 o'clock guys need that?
Yeah. Hey. Scott Cordishy, hey, Nick Coit with you. Joe Passarelli on the other side of the glass. Joe, how are you doing, my man? Joe, we obviously have been thinking about you the past week, and I hope you're doing all right, bud.
Well, Scott, it's great to be back, and shout out to everybody who, you know, their thoughts and prayers went out. Thank you to Nick. I heard the opening of the show last week, the first segment, and very heartfelt thoughts that you had expressed. I know you have a great relationship with your father. He listens and tunes in, and, you know, my father was a great fan of sports radio. We listened to Scott so much growing up in the car on, you know, the Score growing up, and he was so proud of me getting here, and he would have loved that he was, you know, shouted out on the air last week.
That's awesome, Joe.
Our thoughts and prayers are still with you and your family, Joe, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Scotty. It's great to be back, man. Great to be back with the EEI family.
Absolutely. Work's a good thing. Work can take your mind off a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. So we are here for the next 2 hours with our man, Joe P., on the other side of the glass. We're talking sports. We will be joined by comedian Steve Sweeney coming up toward the end of the program to promote a legendary night, which is taking place at the Greenwich Odeon next Saturday, I believe, right? November the 16th, the week from today. So we'll talk to Steve a little bit later on in the show. I don't know. Where do we start? I mean, you know, I know a lot of people are going to want to talk about the Patriots. You and I only get to do this once a week, right? So we don't talk the, you know, Monday after a game. You know, but the question is, what did that loss to the Ravens tell us about the Patriots? Are they paper tigers? I mean, is this defense not nearly as good as we thought it was? Was it simply the result of just playing real bad football teams and bad quarterbacks and bad offenses? To me, I think the question also begs asking, what's the bigger problem right now for the Patriots? Is it the offensive side of the football, or is this defense an issue? Can teams run on this defense, or is this just the exception to the rule because you had such a dynamic quarterback in Lamar Jackson who does things that really no other quarterback in the league can do right now? I think there's some legitimate questions, but I'm not one of those guys, one of those Patriot fans that's going to press the panic button after a loss like this. I've seen this too many times, and you know, after they suffer a bad loss, they usually figure out a way to settle things down, figure it out, and move forward and continue to win. And until I see otherwise, I don't see why any Patriot fans would be pressing the panic button here, because I just think we've seen Belichick and Brady just do this too many times.
Scott, they lost a football game.
I know.
The 3 to 5 worst days of the year in New England have become the days after Patriot losses.
Sure.
It's the worst.
Because they're spoiled.
Because we're spoiled. And they're 8-0, and they go into Baltimore, and they lose. And everybody around here is like, it's over. Pack it up. See you later. We're done. They stink. They can't do this. They can't do that. It's like, oh, my goodness. It ain't that bad, people. And I'll tell you what I thought about, you know, in terms of the game. You know, they fall behind the way they do, and then they get back into it. And that's a credit, I think, to the Patriots and, you know, just I think how good of a football team they are, because I do think they're a good football team. Do they have deficiencies? Do they have some weaknesses? Yeah, clearly. Mm-hmm. Trying to stop the run against a dynamic quarterback gave them issues. It did. But at the same time, they shot themselves in the foot. How many times in that game did they commit a penalty that was an absolute killer and change the momentum of the
game? First drive of the game.
First drive. So I went down to Baltimore for the game. I was there for the Ravens game, and I watched it right in front of me. I'm like, oh, no, he jumped. Oh, no. It was right there. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Let him kick the field goal.
That's right.
What are you doing?
That's right.
Why? You know, it was things like that, and then offsides penalties throughout the game. And
the Julian Edelman turnover was a killer, too, because they put three on the board before halftime to make it 17-13. They are marching down the field on their opening drive of the third quarter, and they're about to take the lead.
Yep.
They're going to take the lead. They're going to score a touchdown. They're going up 20-17, and that's when maybe Ravens fans in Baltimore is like, uh-oh.
The place went quiet.
But it didn't happen. They get the scoop and score on the Edelman fumble. Instead of the Patriots going up by 3 points, they're down by 10. Now, I will say this. I thought right then and there, I said, this is going to hurt. The game's probably over here. But the Patriots immediately came back and scored a touchdown.
Right.
Immediately. Like within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And so now it's a 3-point game again. I'm like, okay, all right. They settled down. We're back in this. But after that, yeah, they just couldn't sustain it.
Yeah, and long drives. Two long drives by the Ravens, and it was, again, they would get a stop, offsides. They would get a stop, illegal hands to the face. It was like, oh my goodness, they were killing themselves on defense. And you could tell, I think the defense came out, and they got punched in the mouth. Maybe for the first time this season, they got truly punched in the mouth. And how many times, too, I think a little microcosm of the game, how many times, you know, on a little dump off, a little screenplay, is James White going to trip over his offensive lineman's foot and not cruise into the end zone when he actually gets good blocking?
Yeah.
That happened right before the half.
Yeah.
They would have had a halftime lead. There it is, right there.
They would have been tied, right?
They would have been tied. Yeah. But still, like, there you go. It's that right there. It was part of the game.
You know? I feel like, too, and I don't want to overreact to, you know, their inability to stop the run, but it wasn't Lamar Jackson's running per se that hurt them, but I think their focus on trying to keep Jackson contained allowed Ingram to go crazy.
Totally.
You know, Ingram's the guy that just gashed them, because I think they were so focused and so worried about Lamar Jackson being the guy to gash them. So that was my concern. And like I said, you know, this is a unique situation, and, you know, maybe they meet again in the postseason, and the Patriots are indeed going to have to figure out how to defend this team better than they did on Sunday night. No doubt about that, but this is unique. There aren't many teams that have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson that pose this type of threat running the football. So, you know, am I concerned about the defense's inability to stop the run? Yeah, mildly, but I'm more concerned about this offense. I'm hoping that Isaiah Wynn's return is just a big windfall for this offense. I really am. I just hope that him being there at left tackle is going to settle things down in that offensive line. I know people are excited to see N'Keal Harry on the field. That, to me, is much lower down the charts than getting Brady some protection up front. I love the addition of Mohamed Sanu. I mean, I think it's been a real good addition for this team. And, you know, in the absence of any production from the tight end position, because it's just been god-awful. I can't believe that the Patriots have done such a piss-poor job of addressing that position. I mean, they lose Gronk, and they've just fallen off the cliff there. We knew whoever they were going to bring in, whoever they were going to have at that position, was not going to be anywhere near as good as Gronk, because Gronk may be the greatest tight end of all time. But for them to be so bad at that position, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So Sanu, to me, at least represents a little bit of an option there for you as a bigger target, a red zone target, similar to what you might get out of the tight end position because of his size at the receiver position. But still, I'd like to see more protection for Brady. I don't know. Do they need more weapons? Maybe N'Keal Harry can help. I don't know. But I'm still more concerned about this offense because, look, Tom Brady, particularly at this stage of his career, he always did, but now more so than ever, he needs protection. He needs time to throw the football, okay? The guy can't move. He can move within the pocket and maybe avoid a would-be sack here and there, but he needs time. Mm-hmm. He does.
And they could use with Harry, you know, I was surprised he wasn't playing. We were down there and thinking, okay, he's probably going to play. And then he goes through the on-field workouts with like five or six guys that ended up being the inactives. And you're like, huh, that's interesting. You know, but maybe give him the extra week here for the bye and get him ready. But still, he's way behind. He's way behind. The thing with Harry, though, is, and something that he did show in the preseason, is the ability to go up and get the football.
True.
You know, and I think that will help in the red zone. And I think with Sanu, I like him as an option. Right away, Brady trusts him, which is, number one, that's huge. You could tell in that game he trusted him throwing the football. You know, even on that deep ball that ended up being the interception of Earl Thomas, you know, it's Sanu stopped running on the route. At the same time, that was one of those Brady, you see those in games where the Patriots are struggling.
Yep.
Brady just does, like, you know, the
chuck it
and see what happens. You know, I not a big fan of him, but, you know, that's what happens. You know, but I think with Sanu, he's more of a possession guy. You can trust him to go pick up however many yards you need on a play, whatever. Harry, I think, you can go up and get the football, so he might help in the red zone. And you're right, Scott, they could really use somebody on that left side to help stabilize this line. And I think we talked about it at the beginning of the season. And this is, I think Ted Karras has done a serviceable job, but losing David Andrews in the middle of that offensive line, I think, was an absolute killer, and that was just bad luck. How would you know that was going to happen to him, and you know, sideline him for the year? And that's, I think it's just, you watch Brady during that game, and he would go up in the line. I think he was calling some of his own protections there because, you know, and that's what Andrews could do. He just was so good at it that it helped set up the line and set up, you know, a nice pocket or give Tom Brady some time there. And I think this, without him, you know, it's been a struggle to, you're right, get him, you know, get himself some space and move around to the pocket and that, all that kind of stuff, because it's just a lot more for him to worry about that I don't think he's had to worry about the last couple of years. So, yeah, the offense to me, I think the defense will figure it out. And I think they did during that game at points figure it out. And at times, again, they came up with third down stops. It was just either a penalty flag or even on that first drive, that first like series, those first few plays, they get third down. Jackson like spins out of a throw and then dumps it off to whichever tight end that was that made the catch. It's like, oh boy, this is... You know, he kind of got lucky there. He did. Yeah. How many times is that going to happen? So, yeah, the offense, I think you're right there, Scott.
You know, I think, you know, again, don't panic, Patriot fans. I think, like I said, we've seen this happen before, and this team finds a way to rebound and get the job done. But these next four games will tell us more about this team, because we knew that the schedule was very soft to start the season. We knew that this six-game stretch we targeted, starting with Cleveland, and running through the Chiefs game, was really going to be the telltale stretch of the season. And I still believe that to be the case, you know. And if you're worried about their defense and their ability to stop the run in a couple of weeks, you're going to have a real good test when the Dallas Cowboys come to town.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they've got Ezekiel Elliott, right? So you want to see how they can defend the run? That will be a good litmus test. Other than that, they're going to be facing teams that throw the ball pretty well. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you get the Houston Texans, who have a dynamic quarterback that can run and pass in Deshaun Watson, which will represent a similar threat to what you had with Lamar Jackson. So we'll find out a lot more about this team over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, we will. This is the tough stretch, and I'm, you know, I am glad... I'm glad that they got punched in the mouth. I think a loss is always a good thing. The undefeated talk was starting to creep into the minds after a half season. People were starting to maybe talk about it, and I'm like, I'm not flirting with it until I saw the Baltimore game of the schedule in Baltimore, and I said, I'm not flirting with this yet because I think this is a really tough game.
Yep.
And, of course, they go down there, and what happens, happens. But I think it's better.
Having said that, you and I liked him last week, and Steve from Asona said, take the money line.
I know
some people that cashed in on that.
Yeah. I looked at this Ravens team, and I said, you know, this is a team where Cleveland put up 40 on you. Like, oh, boy, what the heck happened there? I think the defense was better than I thought, and I think they played out of their minds in this game. I really do. I think having Earl Thomas back there, that's no slouch. That's a good veteran guy back there. The kid Judon, I had no idea who the kid was. He was all over the place. He was unbelievable. You know, they had a lot of guys, you know, I think that that played well in the game. And so, you know, especially on home field, it's a great atmosphere, by the way, for a football game. Those fans are, they were loud and proud. That was a cool place to be for a football game.
We got a texter that says, Jacoby Myers might be the Patriots' best receiver, but Brady keeps ignoring him.
We've talked about this. We've talked about the fact that, you know, Brady can complain about whatever weapons that he has and all that kind of stuff. The fact is, he wasn't here for OTAs, you know, and some of the off-season time. Come in and work with the kids. It's one of those, you know, you get older at work, I guess you don't, you know, less and less you want to work with younger people or younger players or whatnot to get them up to speed, because you're sort of set in your ways and you got your go-to guys like your Edelman and James White, yeah, that sort of thing. Sorry, it's part of the job. Get these guys up to speed. Jacoby Myers looked pretty good when Jarrett Stidham was in there in the preseason. Like, that's, yeah, we've talked about this. It's, you know, that's been part of the issue. But, you know, I don't know. And now at this point, I think it's more for me now, it's about getting Harry involved. Now it's about that kid, you know, getting up to speed. Just get him involved. Use him. They use a first-round pick on him. Use him. Now, if you want to have a second guess about the first-round pick, you were just hinting at it, Scott. Maybe they should have looked at maybe moving up or finding a guy in the draft that would be a serviceable tight end, a guy that you can coach up at that position, because that obviously has been an issue for them. Even having Ben Watson back, it hasn't been, you know, Ben Watson he's up there in age.
Yeah.
He's an older guy. So, you know, if you have a fair second guess there, like there was a kid, was it a Bama kid that was there at 32? Or I think Irv Smith, is that his name? Irv Smith was there, I think. Somebody in the draft. There was somebody that they could have. I mean, the two kids from Iowa, the Hawkinson kid you weren't getting. He was top 10. You know, and the other kid who goes to the Broncos, whatnot. You know, maybe that's a fair second guess here for the draft if you're looking back at it. But we'll see. You know, now you try to get Harry involved. Now's the time.
And by the way, Can I cut this off at the pass before it even happens?
Uh-oh.
Dan from Cranston, if you're listening, please spare me. Well, the Jimmy G and the 49ers are still undefeated. Their time is coming. Have you seen their upcoming schedule? It could happen this weekend. Monday Night Football, they host the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, who some think is the leader for MVP honors right now. But let's say it doesn't happen then. They've got the Cardinals at home. They should win that game. Then they host the Packers, tough game. They visit the Baltimore Ravens, as we know, tough game. Mm-hmm. They visit the New Orleans Saints, real good team. And they host the Rams, and they finish the season at the Seattle Seahawks. So if you think for a second the San Francisco 49ers are going undefeated, think again.
Well, and you just said that they should probably win that Cardinals game. How tough was it for them on the road against Cardinals?
Cardinals are playing, they're competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, I give a little bit of credit there to
Kingsbury.
Like, this is a newer guy, and talk about the coaching hires around the league. Like, hey, at least he's come in. He's got his guy at quarterback. Like, you know, it's okay. It ain't Freddie Kitchens, that's for sure. You know, that guy is going to get the can at the end of the year. Oh, yeah. Is that bad in Cleveland? Look at all the talent they have on that team, Scott.
But did you not listen to me before the start of the season? I predicted this with the Cleveland Browns. I said everybody's anointing the Browns as the team in the AFC. They're the fashionable pick for everyone. I said, look, I see the talent. A lot of talent there. I don't think they're going to be able to mesh. My prediction was the Cleveland Browns would be 7-9 this year, and they're right on track. Maybe.
Yeah.
They may be worse than 7-9.
I think they are, and it's a coaching thing. I think if you're looking at anybody, you know, maybe Mike McCarthy, maybe that's a guy that comes in and stabilizes things.
Yep.
You know, they need somebody.
You know, Baker Mayfield's a little bit of a dink too, okay? He needs a little bit of an attitude adjustment,
all right? He does.
Mm-hmm. He needs a little bit of an attitude adjustment. Mm-hmm. It starts with him. He's the quarterback. You're the leader of the offense. Starts with you, pal. He thinks his you-know-what doesn't stink.
He's always kind of been that way.
Yeah.
You know, I think Browns...
And it's great. It's fun when you're winning. But when you're losing, we're seeing what kind of leader he is not.
Yeah, right. You have to stabilize things.
Snapping at the media.
Yeah.
Really?
Well...
Okay, so if you're losing your cool in that type of situation, how am I supposed to have confidence in you to, you know, keep it together in the pocket when you've got, you know, 6'6", 285-pound defensive ends crashing down on you, Really? You're losing your cool in a press conference, Baker? That says a little bit about you.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the reporter shouldn't have been talking over him. But that's a separate whatever. Baker hasn't shown the ability to keep his cool or not ride the wave of emotions that the season is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's you're right. You have to be that leader. And, you know, I think some players are really good at not buying into the hype or just jumping into it. You know, I think, you know, Brady is pretty good at that. You know, I know he got a little, you know, angry about the whole Netflix thing a few weeks back, but that was understandable. You know, it was sort of an off the field thing. You know, otherwise, even if we walk in and there's this big story and, oh, no, this is Antonio Brown is all over the place, Tom, what are you going to do? And it's just sort of like, yeah, no, we're good. We're just preparing for a football game. That's all. That's usually Tom.
Yep.
And that's usually Bill. And that's a good lesson to learn from. But maybe a veteran coach like a Mike McCarthy would come in and help Baker Mayfield with that, because he ain't got no help right now.
All right. Let's open up the phones for you to join us this morning. 401-737-1287 is the phone number.
Our phone lines are open.
And our text line is open as well, Bill. The text line is 37937.
After the Ravens game, by the way, with Belichick, oh, that was Snot Rocket City. Oh, he walks in and it's oh, when they lose, it is short answers and it is.
Did you hear him on Patriots Monday here?
No.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Oh,
when he was on with Glenn and Maloney and Fourier, it wasn't pretty.
Oh, yeah, he walked in the room and it was. Somebody asked him like, "Well, what specifically went wrong?" Which is a fair question. He goes. It's obvious. Did you watch the game? And then it was awkward. It was like, oh, boy. It's just the awkward silence in the room every time those things happen. It's like, oh, man, oh, man.
Need to coach better. Need to play better.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't do anything good. Like, it was it must have been after every answer. He was, it's like, oh, man, Bill, stop, please. Oh. Anyways.
All right. Phone lines are open. Text line is open. If you want to join us, you're listening to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI.
Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.